requirements became effective on January 1, 2011. And this has been a huge challenge for anyone who is negotiating contracts or working with vendors. The University Ethics Office was assigned the responsibility for attempting to train and communicate with individuals regarding how to do that reporting. There are very, very few guidelines. There are no JCARs to help give us too much advice on that. So it has definitely been a challenge. We have worked to develop a training program that really helps employees differentiate between those types of communications that have to be reported and those that don't. We've added a number of FAQs and various sections to our website to try to help. But needless to say, this is an area where there's still a significant learning curve, and we'll be spending a lot of time and attention on that area in the coming year. Our annual ethics training, as you all know, it is required by law, and I'm happy to again report that we had over a 99.9% compliance rate. As of this morning, there are 8 left, and we will find you and make sure that you complete your training within the next 2 weeks. I've scanned the crowd. There's no one here, so we're all okay. Everybody here has their taken care of. So after doing this for years, you know, our challenge now is not getting the training done. It's figuring out how to make the training a little bit fresh each year, because the topics don't change. It's one law, and it's a very strict set of guidelines. So that is our challenge. From the respect of rolling it out, you'll be able to tell that I'm a farm girl at heart, because I have to say, it's just a well-oiled engine, a well-greased engine. It just happens now. Our employees expect it. They know it's going to start the first couple days in October. It's going to end the first couple days in November. And it's really pretty easy and now, and that's a fantastic thing. It used to be our biggest project, and now we just roll along. So we are also in the process of negotiating a contract with one community college to actually purchase the content of our training program. They want to use it themselves, and then what they're also considering is doing exactly what we do, where they then offer that program to other community colleges, which of course will be paid again for. And so I think that's a really notable accomplishment and quite a compliment to our program and the expertise that we've developed here. And just a quick reminder as I close, for the trustees and probably most of the individuals in the audience, the Secretary of State's office will be mailing the Statements of Economic Interest forms this week. They need to be returned to the University Ethics Office for review prior to filing with the Secretary of State. So we encourage you to get those back to us in advance of April 20th so we can make sure that you filed on time. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to address those.
Yeah, Donna, I had an opportunity to present earlier this week to the city task force considering new ethics and compliance along with the executive inspector general. And he mentioned that that the statute now allows for anonymous reporting.
Correct.
What has been your observation about what effect that has had on the number of complaints, and how many complaints of these were anonymous, and what do you know generally across the state about what has happened since anonymous reporting has been allowed?
Okay. The Inspector General's office does not, at least to my knowledge, they don't provide a report to us indicating the number of anonymous complaints versus named complaints. We do receive referrals to the Inspector General's office, and so sometimes we can tell if it was anonymous or if it was by an individual and if they were comfortable releasing their name. If they tell the Inspector General's office that they would like to have their name protected, then of course that is redacted. So it's very hard for me to get a feel for that. My office has always accepted anonymous reports. From my perspective, I respect that, but I find that to be a little bit difficult for us because oftentimes we may have some follow-up questions and need additional information, and that makes it difficult. So what we try to do with anonymous calls is we actually ask the individual if, next Friday afternoon, can you call us back? And simply to tell us the subject of your call and ask us if we had any additional follow-up questions, so that we've had some time to start looking at the situation and can get some additional information from them.